Now, last week in our adult church, we were thinking about this particular occasion, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of three main feasts that the Jewish nation celebrated right through Bible days and still to this very day are celebrating. In fact, have been celebrating it this week. One of their many harvest thanksgivings. And one of the things they will do is to build booths and cover the top of the booths with foliage of some sort so they could have some meals in there, maybe even sleep in there and remember the time. One, remember Thanksgiving for all the harvest they've got now, but also they would remember the time when their forefathers were in the wilderness and they had to sleep under the stars and God provided for them there. So let's read a little bit about God's instruction to the people during the Feast of Tabernacles. Let's read this together. This is Leviticus 23. On the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's festival of tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do no regular work. 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the 8th day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do no regular work. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. So, for 7 days, great rejoicing, including palm waving. Have a little practice, quick. Palm waving for 7 days. And then on the 8th day, a bit like the Olympics, there's a big closing ceremony, which is a little bit more somber, a little bit more thoughtful. So after sunset tonight, Jewish nation will be remembering the 8th day. So I thought we'd link this morning's service with the end of the celebration of Feast of Tabernacles and think about what Jesus did on the 8th day, what the NIV calls the greatest day of the festival. Okay, so while the Bible does tell us a few things that happened and what were to be done on the Feast of Tabernacles. There was one thing that the Bible doesn't mention, but some of the Jewish writings do mention took place, and it was based upon an event that happened many, many years ago in the days of Moses. So it takes us way back to the days of wilderness. They were all thirsty. He struck the rock, and then water came from the rock, and they were able to satisfy their thirst. And some people have suggested in the old Jewish writings, not in the Bible, in the Jewish writings, is that as part of the Feast of Tabernacles, what would happen is a priest would go and scoop up some water from the pool of Siloam and would walk into the temple area. And part of the great celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles and remembering the time when the water came out of the rock when Moses struck it, they would pour water on the floor of the temple. And people go, yes, the Lord is the great provider. It's a wonderful harvest. God has provided everything. And we remember. Now, I need 6 people. Now, I promise you, you will not get wet. Okay, but I just need you just to hold something up. So I need 6 people of any age. Let's see how many we've got. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So anybody, come and sit down. You can choose any chair. 6. Thank you very much. All right. As I promised you, you're not going to get wet, okay? These are all squeezy bottles as a gift to you. And you may share the contents of your squeezy bottle at some point in a few moments' time. So let's take a little look about the idea of different ways. When Jesus came to the Feast of Tabernacles, this is in John chapter 7, and something special happened on the 8th day, but he turned up midway through this Feast of the Tabernacles. And during this particular time, different people thought different things about him. So let's go for chapter 7 and verse 2. So let's read this again. We've got some audience participation. I want you to be able to read, and then I want you to be able to hold up something. And I'll need that microphone again. Thank you. So let's read this together. This is John chapter 7, verse 2 to 5. Let's read together. But when the Jewish festival of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, "Leave Galilee and go to Judea, so that your disciples there may see the works you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." for even his own brothers did not believe him. So some saw Jesus as being a miracle man. Like to hold that, please. A miracle. Actually, you can stand up when you're holding up. A miracle man. Jesus' brother said, well, go and do some works. Go and do some wonders. And, you know, you want to draw attention to yourself. They weren't doing it because, let's say, they loved Jesus or believed in Jesus. They just kind of sort of said, just go there and show what you can do. Because that seems to be, to them, what he was all about. And, of course, some people today just chase after Jesus for what he might do. Oh, Lord, please bless me, or please heal me, or whatever. And then might actually receive that blessing and then go off and do their own thing. Jesus didn't immediately go to the feast, but let's read John 7:10. After his brothers had left for the festival, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. So Jesus had exercised some patience. He could have gone straight away. He probably wanted people to know about what he could do and his love. He may have wanted to heal people from their infirmities, but he held back until the right time. And then when he did go, and John 14 says he went halfway through the feast, he started teaching. But he may have hung in the background and just watched what was going on during that time. And then one more verse 11, let's read this together. Now at the festival, the Jewish leaders were watching for Jesus and asking, where is he? So, what I want you to do, number one, I want you to shout, he's a miracle man, okay? But while you do that, you have permission to squirt your water. One big squirt, and you can see if you can hit the back row. So, you can do it left-handed or right-handed. Which one are you? Left-handed or right? Okay. You want it full force, you see. Okay, so you ready? So he's a miracle man. After three. One, two, three. Okay, very good. Got to about the third row, I think, very much. Okay, right, sit back down again. Okay, so you've got the idea. And don't worry, we will get some people to move over this side as well, because I can see that you're worried you're going to lose out. So Jesus' brothers thought that he was a miracle man. When he got to Jerusalem, other people considered Jesus in other ways. So let's read John 7, verse 12. Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said he was a good man. So some saw him as a good man, and I guess that's what a lot of people may think today. Maybe different religions might say, well, yes, I believe there was Jesus and he was a good man. But of course, there's lots of good people around. In fact, lots of them are in this room, good men and women. But Jesus is more than just a good person doing good things. But that's how some people saw him. So I'd like to move over this side, please, Josh. Okay. Okay. So I would like you to shout out, he's a good man, and then you may, in a loud voice, and then you may share a blessing with this side. Okay, when you're ready.
He's a good man.
Very good. Okay, very good. Thank you. Okay, come and take a seat again. Thank you very much. Let's carry on with the reading. Verse 12. Let's read together. Others replied, no, he deceives the people, but no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews. So some people saw him, do you want to stand up with your sign, as a deceiving man. And some of those who thought this way were the Jewish leaders. And so let's read what they said later on in this chapter. John 7:45. Let's read this. Finally, the temple guards went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who asked them, why didn't you bring him in? No one ever spoke the way this man does, the guards replied. You mean he has deceived you also, the Pharisees retorted. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on him. Right, so you now have to say he is a deceiving man in a big voice. Okay, now you can choose this side or this side. Which one do you want to? Who do you want to bless? This side, come on over. Okay, that's fine. All right, come on then, come over this side then, come on. Right, okay, so you say, he's a deceiving man, and then squirt. Ready? Off you go.
He's a deceiving man.
Oh! Very good, right, go and sit back down again. Did you aim that at me? Okay, right. A review, miracle man, good man, deceiving man, sometimes good, sometimes not so good. Another way in which Jesus was seen was a man who was of great learning. So let's read this, verse 14 of John 7. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, How did this man get such learning without ever being taught? So some saw him as being a learned man. All right, so the usual way was you went through the synagogue and then you got taught, and all the scribes and Pharisees would have gone that way. And they kind of knew that Jesus hadn't followed exactly that path. He had gone straight to the source. So this is what Jesus said in verse 16. Let's read this. Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." He wanted to make it clear. It's not by human reasoning and learning that Jesus had learned what he did. He's heard straight from his heavenly Father. So I want you to shout, "He's a learned man." And then do you want to go closer to anybody else? Do you want to go nearer someone else to squirt them? Can you see anybody you'd like to squirt here?
Yes.
Yeah, come on then. Come over here then. Come on. Come on. Come on then. Where would you like to go? You lead the way. Okay. Just a duck. Directed blessings, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, there we go. All right, that's lovely. So you shout out, "He's a learned man," and then you bless your chosen flock. Here we go.
"He's a learned man."
Very good. Okay, lovely. Right, back to the seat. Very good. Is it lovely when the children want to bless parents and adults? This is the Baptist way. I want you to know. A community of believers sharing with one another regardless of age. Okay, so we've got a miracle man, good man, learning man, they're very positive, and a deceiving man, perhaps not quite as positive. Then there's this one here. Let's read this together, verse 19. "Has not Moses given you the law, yet not one of you keeps the law? Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" So some saw Jesus as being a demon-possessed man, that he'd been overcome with some kind of evil spirit and it was causing him to do what he was doing. So you're going to shout out, "He's a demon-possessed man," and who, did you want to choose somebody? Come on then, this is lovely. This is really good. Oh, what a surprise, it's the same. Look at this. Hey, now we're into Pentecostalism, the second blessing. Okay, here we go then. Right, so "He's a demon-possessed man," and then you bless.
"He's a demon-possessed man."
And there we go. Hey, right, okay, and back to your seats. Very good. Do you feel blessed? So among the crowd, some were murmuring that maybe Jesus could be God's man, could be the Messiah. The one they've been waiting for, the anointed king. Some were murmuring that maybe this is who he was. So let's read this, verse 31. "Many in the crowd believed in him. They said, 'When the Messiah comes, will he perform more signs than this man?'" So some thought he was the Messiah. Now then, my turn. Right, who hasn't? Who's thought, "Oh, thank goodness they're not going to the back row"? Okay, I think the Mays need to receive a blessing. Right, so he's God's man, the Messiah. Well done, there we are. Back, see, if they're traditional Baptists, they're in the back row. Some thought that, but some said, "Well, actually, I'm not quite sure whether or not he can be the Messiah," because they thought they knew a little bit more about him. Let's read this, verse 26. "Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really considered that he is the Messiah? But we know where this man is from. When the Messiah comes, no one will know where he's from." They knew Jesus. Those who knew him were, he was from Nazareth. And we won't know where the Messiah is. So really, he's a local man. So here's your last one, a local man. And so at this point, perhaps you'd like to be upstanding, please. And you are the last one to choose. Have you got a choice of which row? Yes, well, okay, very good. Very good. This is lovely. Okay. If it's that same row, I think they'll feel we're getting at them. Okay. It's not. Oh. Oh, it's, oh. Parents, grandparents, I think two squirts are appropriate here. Okay. So you can shout, "He is a local man," and you can choose which way. Here we go. Okay, come sit back down here. He squirted that right in his grandparents' face. Shocking, shocking behavior. I do apologize on behalf on behalf of the younger generation for this terrible, terrible abuse. Okay, so they came to this logic. No one knows where the Messiah is from. We know where Jesus is from, so he can't be the Messiah. That was the logic. But of course, they didn't know where Jesus was from. They didn't know anything at all. So we've got this summary. We've kind of got some negative ones here. We've got demon-possessed man, and we've got a deceiving man. And we've got some positive ones here. We've got a good man, a learned man, a miracle man, a local man, and even the idea that maybe he is God's man, the Messiah. So and this was all being shouted out or whispered during this Feast of the Tabernacles. So I want us to simulate that for a moment. This is where you're all involved now. Look, here we've got all of them on. Miracle man, God man, good man, deceiving man, learning man, possessed man, local man, God's man. Now, just for a minute, this is the hardest thing you're going to have to do this morning. Try and think for a moment, what is your name? Okay, what letter it begins with, your first name. If your first name begins A, B, or C, then I want you to shout out, he's a miracle man. If your first name begins with D, E, or F, I want you to shout out, he's a good man, etc., etc. And if if your first name begins with S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, or Z, you shout out, he's God's man, Messiah. So I just want you to shout that out when I say go. One, two, three, go. Okay, now, it's not quite the same as these folks here because they all had a little bit of water, didn't they? So perhaps at this point it's appropriate. Could I have a couple of stewards, please? Would you like to distribute these amongst the congregation, please? For it's. Can we make sure that everybody has some water? Because I know you're all sitting there thinking, do you know what? I wish I'd sat up there. So this is an opportunity for you to get involved. Right, as quick as we can, please. Now, this is an optional activity, folks, okay? We don't force anything upon anyone here at Frimley Baptist Church. But here's an opportunity for you to get involved. If you don't want to do this, it's fine. You can take your little bottle home, or you can refuse the bottle. Okay? You can say, I don't do this kind of thing in church. This is not the right thing, and I'm going to sit there without any joy. Okay? If that's what you want to do, that's fine. If that's how you want to spend the day, that's right. But Feast of Tabernacles was a season of great joy. It was 7 days of rejoicing. So we need to do something to help us to be able to smile in church, because some of us really need help in this area. Right. So remember, the rule is, this time I want you to shout, if your first name begins with any of those letters, that's what you shout. And you shout, he's a miracle man, or he's a good man. You can do the same thing. So you can do it three times. Now, where you squirt, I know I've mentioned this a few times, but this is a Baptist church, and we believe in the value of each an individual's personal choice and their contribution, and we want to hear what you say. So you may choose wherever you wish to squirt. It could be forwards, backwards, left or right, up or down, okay? So just take a look around you, and before you say anything, I'm leaving the room while you do this. No, you're going to stay where you are. Having said that, with your permission, I'd like to video this because I am currently doing Baptist history and principal studies in Bristol Bible College. And I think this might prove to be an interesting discussion starter and maybe a new tradition in a Baptist church that I might be starting here. So with your permission, I'll video this and then I'll pixelate out anybody's face that doesn't want to be part of it. So what we're going to do is you're going to do it three times. And I'm going to stand behind these children here. And remember, I did promise them they wouldn't get wet. Okay? So if you want, if you want to go against that, this is you, not me. Okay? Okay. And don't you six dare turn round. All right. Here we go then. Okay. So are you ready? After three. Three times you've got to shout it. After three. One, two, three. Go! Get up. Right, enough. Right, sit down. Sit down. Okay, thank you. And stop. I think a lot of you forgot all about shouting the name. And instead, you got fully embraced in the practical activity, which is fine. It's better to do it than say it, isn't it? That's all right. So a round of applause for our helpers, please. Thank you very much. Oh, my goodness. So, why have I asked you to squirt a little bottle? Well, squirting a little bottle was kind of symbolic of the idea of what you thought. The names you were shouting out, they were people, well, it's kind of your thinking. You shared it with everybody, and this is what I was thinking. Well, on the eighth day, this is what Jesus did. He shouted out to the whole crowd something he wanted them to know about the way he was thinking. So let's say this together. John 7:37. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. He didn't shout, "Come and see the miracles." He didn't say, "Come and see how good I am," or "Come and hear how learned I am." He didn't even actually say, specifically, "I'm the Messiah." He said to everyone, "Look at yourself and ask yourself, do you feel dry and thirsty? Is your life somewhat empty? You may be involved in this wonderful festival, but in the end, you still come away from it thinking there's something missing." Well, anyone who's thirsty, he said, yes, you can come to festivals, but he said there's more to life than just a religious activity. Come to me, the living water. Come to me to receive something that will satisfy not just a physical thirst, no, more than that, satisfy a spiritual thirst where you feel dry. And he doesn't whisper it says there, he said in a loud voice. And it may well be that it was that Jesus said this at exactly the same time that the priest was pouring out the water. And they're all looking and saying, yes, this is wonderful what God did all those years ago. And Jesus said, as if to say, turn your eyes away from that. Come to me if you're thirsty. Don't go back to Moses. Don't go back to the law. Come to me. I'm the living water. And then when you come to me, you can receive my Spirit, and the Spirit of God will flow out of you to bless others. Don't miss the truth. We all need Jesus. We all need to be forgiven of our sin. We all need to receive him. And let's not get caught up in just perhaps like a religious festival on a Sunday and just do church. God says, I want you to be my church, my people. I want you to come to me, and I want you to always receive from me. And that's how we're going to end. So here is a lot of water. On this occasion, I don't want you to spray it on anyone else. What I'd like to do is, while we listen to a little bit of music, I simply would like you to come and bring your small bottle, somewhat insignificant, maybe now empty bottle. Come and put it in the bin here and swap it for a lovely bottle of pure life. As a symbol that, in the end, yes, we can do a lot of good stuff in our own strength and our own way, but actually what Jesus offers is far more. And so I want to come and exchange our small, somewhat insignificant offering, put it in the bin, and just say, I want to swap that as a symbol of saying, I choose Jesus rather than myself. Not my thoughts and what I think, but actually I choose what Jesus thinks to be the most important thing. So we'll play a bit of music, and then when we've all picked up a bottle, again, this is optional, you don't have to do this, but if you'd like to come and exchange that, take a bottle of water with you, and if you don't like spring water, then give it away to someone else. It's a good image as well. You know, receive Jesus and then we give him away to others, obviously keeping to ourselves, but you know, the analogy doesn't work totally, but you know what I mean, the idea we're sharing with others. So, and then when we've all finished, we can carry on singing the song as we draw near to the end. Too.